All right, we are starting a new series today. It's called Faith Through Tough Times. It says that right on the top of your handout there. What we're going to be talking about is why God allows pain in our lives. Why he allows suffering. Why does God do that? And how are we to respond to those things when they happen to us? Because whether you realize it or not, we experience pain all the time, right? You guys agree with that? It can be, what are some types of pain? Somebody tell me.
Pain like,
like your what? Okay, so memories can be painful. What else can be painful? Emotional pain, like someone hurts your feelings, or, you know, a boyfriend breaks up with you, or physical pain, like someone smashing your hand with a bat, or you may not think of it this way, but as far as, like, suffering, and maybe it's not extreme suffering, because, you know, there is some extreme suffering, and then there's some not so extreme suffering. But some of you guys have been suffering through the fact that we haven't had these bean bags around, and that some of you complain more than others. But you know, you sit there for a while, and your butt starts to hurt, and it's just uncomfortable. You know, uncomfortable can be another form of like pain or just. It's something that is going on in your life that is happening to you that is something you'd rather not happen. Okay, that can all be a type of suffering or pain. Tonight we're going to look at why there is suffering. This is actually going to be a 5-week series, so we're going to cover a lot of different subjects with this. But there's a question that comes up, especially when something really kind of traumatic happens, that. People ask the question, why me? Why would God allow this to happen to me? And especially believers sometimes get the perception that somehow because we are God's children and that he loves us, that somehow we are immune to pain or in some ways should be spared pain. That maybe we should get a free ticket from any kind of suffering in our lives. That those that are not his children, those that are not following him, should maybe bear the brunt of the pain that we have in our world. But that's actually not based on any kind of truth. And we're going to look at the truth about that tonight. So let's pray and we'll get into what we're talking about. God, just thank you again that we can come together and we can spend time looking at your word. We can spend time hanging out together and having fun together and talking to each other and just seeing what's going on with each other. I pray that tonight would just be a good time of looking into your word and seeing what it says about pain and suffering. I mean, this is just something that we endure and live with on a day-to-day basis, and we really start to question you, I think, when that suffering is big, when we really start to hurt emotionally or physically, that question starts to come up: why would a loving God allow this in our lives? May we just look at your truth and respond to your truth by trusting you, and may we take this truth and hide it deep in our hearts, that we can help deal with situations as they come up in our lives, and that we can also be an encouragement to other people when they're going through times of trouble. I pray that you'd help me to be completely dependent on you tonight as we look at your word and as you allow me to teach your word. I pray that this wouldn't be about my ideas, but would be about your thoughts. I pray this all in your name. Amen. Let's flip over to Romans chapter 5. Some of you guys might have already gone there. Because, again, you can always look at your handout and you can get ahead of me as far as flipping. There's multiple passages that I'm not going to have up here tonight that you're going to have to actually look in your Bible. Or, and actually, I'm going to have to look in a Bible, too. Would you give me a Bible, love? Sorry. So flip over to Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And as you guys are flipping there, I just want to say that that as we look at this, you might be someone, you know, there's enough of us in here that you might be going through something tough right now. You might have someone in your family that's sick. You might have just difficult things going on in your house. Especially, I've heard so much stuff with how cold it is, with people's water going out, and all sorts of just not so cool stuff going on. That you might be going through something really kind of difficult right now. But honestly, you may not be going through something difficult right now. But the reason why we're looking at this is not just to so that we can look at what God's word says to those right now that are going through a tough time, but it's so that you can take his word and you can remember these principles, because you are going to face hard times. We all are going to face hard times. It's just the way life works. And that you can be prepared for those based on God's truth. And also that you can be prepared to be an encouragement to other people. You know, we talked about at the retreat about our responsibility to other people in the body and our role there, and how we're supposed to be an example and all those type of things. And this is one way that you can be an encouragement to someone else, because there are going to be people in our group and in our body that are going to be hurting and going through tough times. And you can be an encouragement by sharing with them God's truth. So let's start looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Says this. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned." The first thing we need to identify here, and we're going to go back and look at this actual occurrence, is that pain and suffering, and particularly death, came from Adam and Eve's sin, original sin, and actually came through our sin, too, because we've all sinned, too. That our world is corrupted and is tainted by sin. It was never God's original intention for there to be pain and suffering and death. That was never God's original intention. And so when we talk about this issue, we've got to start with the fact that God is not the problem with pain and suffering. God is not the one who created pain and suffering. God is not the one who is producing pain and suffering on our world. It's our fault. We're the source. Okay? And it goes back to Genesis chapter 3. Flip back there, guys. This is one of those things that isn't going to be up here, so you guys need to flip back to it. It's like the third page of the Bible, second page of the Bible, right there at the beginning. Somebody tell me what page number that is. Page 2. Turn to page 2. And we're going to look at what God said. You guys know this story, okay? Adam and Eve blew it. Serpent, the devil in the form of a serpent, tempted Eve, and Eve did what she sinned. She did the one thing that God asked her not to do. She brought the fruit to Adam, and Adam sinned right along with her. And this is after it's happened, and after God has discovered them, and God is now handing out the consequence for their sin. Okay, and this is what he says. He says, "To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. He's handing out basically pain, suffering. He's saying the consequence for your sin is that there is now going to be suffering in the world. See, the Garden of Eden was great because everything was perfect there. The lion laid down with the lamb. You know, that's like going to happen when things return to that state. But that happened. It was all peaceful and happy and joyful, and everyone was having a great time. There was no pain. There was no suffering. There were no tears. But because of sin, first of all, he says to the woman, childbearing is going to hurt. And any woman who has ever had a baby will tell you it is suffering, painful suffering. The point that really should be one of the most joyful days of your life and ends up being that is painfully horrific. I could not barely handle Melissa going through that process. It was ridiculously painful. And I'm sorry for all you women who are probably, or all you girls who are probably going to have babies one day, because it hurts. It's painful. It's so painful that psychologists and stuff believe that you actually block it out. It's such a painful memory that there's, I forget what they call that, but you actually block out how painful it was, because it's such pain. And that's because of sin. Guys, on the other hand, he starts listing out this stuff, which, bottom line, it's painful stuff. The sources of pain, he says, thistles will suddenly hurt. You know, thistles, that thorns and things will prick you and they will hurt. That didn't happen before. I don't know how it worked, but it didn't hurt before. Maybe there were no thistles. But you're going to get hurt by that stuff now. You will painfully toil all your life. You will work. And there are lots of people who say that they're living the good life and that their work is not so bad, but work is hard and work is difficult, and your life is just difficult. I mean, honestly, take a look at your life now and look at how much work you have to do. Maybe it's schoolwork, maybe it's chopping wood, maybe it's whatever you have to do, shoveling driveways, whatever it is. That toil is not something we would choose to do, but we now do it because sin entered the world. It's a consequence for that. And basically, he's saying here, life is going to be full of pain and full of suffering until you die. Thankfully, it will end at some point, but it will be full of pain and full of suffering. Bummer. And honestly, this is a question that I've had at times. I've gone, okay, so sin caused that to occur in our world, and now there is pain and suffering in our world because it's soiled by this sin. But God, I've submitted my life to you now. So aren't things supposed to be better? Because, you know, you've like forgiven me of my sin, and maybe I sin less now, and, you know, so can't you give me a little bit of a break? Shouldn't it be a little bit different? And we will actually find out that it is a little bit different, but not in the way that we like it to be a little bit different. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Everybody flip over to that if you already haven't. Flip over to that. Anybody have a page number on that? What? 794. So sin is the source of pain, okay? It's our fault that there's pain in the world and suffering in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. This is Paul speaking, and the context of this is there were some guys who were trying to discredit Paul and say Paul is not worthy to be listened to. He's not a good enough Christian, or there were lots of other things that they were throwing out at him. And this is his response to them. And then it we'll see what happens with Paul. Paul, this guy, you guys know a lot about Paul. Paul was a servant of God, living out the life that God had called him to go preach the gospel. Thousands of people saved through what Paul had done, and he started churches, and just an amazing guy that served God well. And starting verse 23, it says this, says, are they servants of Christ? Talking about these guys. I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, which, by the way, 40 lashes minus one was like almost dead. They thought that if you actually got 40 lashes that you would die, so they only made it 39. It was like you're within an inch of your death. Not a good thing. Okay? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own people, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Okay, Paul, a believer, doing what God had called him to do. Sometimes people look at pain and suffering and they think it's a punishment for sin. We still have that idea in our minds because that was an idea very prevalent at this time, that if there was any pain and suffering in your life, it was because you did something wrong. And God does discipline us for our own good. He does try to help us in that area. Just like I discipline my child, we get disciplined. But this is just Paul going about his regular life. This was Paul's life. Living like a fugitive, on the run, shipwrecked, bad things happening all the time. He was in prison all the time. If you looked at Paul's like standard of living, his life, it stunk. It was not good. The truth here, and the first point here, we're going to go through this idea, is that God never promised us, never, promised us that life would work out the way we wanted it to work out. Paul, I'm sure, never went, man, I really want to get shipwrecked today and get, you know, have to sit on a piece of wood and float in, you know. I really want to get beat with rocks today. Of course that's not what he was thinking. God never said that our life would work out the way we wanted to. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 through 38. This I have up here. You guys can look up here. 8:28 says this. The next point says, God never promised that we would not be hurt. Never promised that. Verse 36, it says, some face jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. Talking about Old Testament believers who live for God. He says, they were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the stone, by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, which is, you know, poor people, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes and in the ground. Paul's speaking to the life of like a New Testament Christian. This is speaking to the life of an Old Testament Christian, that they were constantly not living a very good life. Believers in God. People who were trusting their lives to God. God never promised that we would not be treated badly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says this. You can look up here. It says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. John 15:20 says, remember what I told you. Servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Persecuting means that people pursue after you to hurt you, to injure you. And he said, you will be pursued after to be hurt. Everyone who lives a godly life will be pursued after to be hurt. It's actually the opposite way. We think maybe God should let up a little bit on the pain and the suffering, but it's actually the opposite. We will be more persecuted than anyone else will be. If we're living a godly life, we will be more hurt than anyone else will be if we're living a godly life. And it's because of this idea, and I actually appreciate this idea, that servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, this is Jesus speaking, if they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Man, that gives me a chance to be like Jesus, to be associated with Jesus. Sounds pretty good to me. But it's not nice. It's not comfortable living. It's not less pain, less suffering. If anything, it's the opposite of that. God never promised that we would be liked. Matthew 24, verse 9 says this. It says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. He says, you will be hated by everybody. And this is an exaggeration, because obviously there are people who like you, right? But he's saying, you know, have you ever felt like everyone hates you? Have you ever said that? Everybody hates me. You know, you say that kind of a statement. It's an exaggeration, right? Everybody doesn't hate you. But that's the same kind of idea he's saying here, is that people will not like you. You will not be liked. That is the life of a believer. If you're living a godly life, you will not be the most liked person. You just won't be that. God never promised you would be, either. The bottom line is, we should not be surprised when painful experiences happen in our life. We should actually expect painful experiences to happen in our life. Those are the things that God doesn't promise, but God does promise some things which are pretty awesome. This is the first thing. God does promise that hard times will never be too much for us, will never overwhelm us. Lamentations 3:19, you guys can look up here if you want, or you can flip back, way back in your Bible to Lamentations. 3:19 says this. It says, I remember my affliction and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. Gall just means something nasty to eat, anything you can think of that you don't like. It's like fish for me is gall, or artichokes are, that's something nasty. All that stuff is gross. Just think of what would gross you out. Maybe it'd be like salt and vinegar chips, which I actually really love, but some people think that's really gross. Whatever would gross you out, that's what gall is, okay? It's something disgusting and bitter. He says, remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. I'm really bummed out is what that means. I'm really depressed. He says, yet this I call to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of Yahweh, the Lord, remember, anytime the Lord is capitalized, it's the personal name of God, Yahweh. Because of Yahweh's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Compassion just means consistent love. God's consistent love is always there, and because it's always there, we will never be consumed by painful experiences. I like the way 2 Corinthians 4 says that same kind of idea. It says this. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side. Imagine like being a Coke can, okay, and being pressed upon on every side, but we are never crushed, okay? Hard-pressed, but never crushed. We are perplexed, confused, don't understand things, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. All of those terms are here's one thing, and here's the extreme form of that one thing. Every single one of those. I'm hard-pressed, but I'm not crushed. The bottom line is that we as believers will never be consumed by anything painful going on in our lives. It will never overtake us. It will never crush us, because God is so faithful to not let that happen. Great. Pain's coming, but it's never going to consume us. It's awesome. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, because a big part of pain in our lives is how we're tempted by things. Same kind of idea, but with temptation. It says, no temptation is overtaking you except what is common to us all. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You'll never be in a situation where temptation will be so great that you will have to give in to that. Same idea. You will not be crushed by any temptation in your life. There's always a chance for you to reach out in dependency upon God and say, God, I need help with this area. Always a chance for that. And God knows how much you can handle. And he's not going to allow that to happen to you. Second thing is so God promises hard times will never be too much for us. He also promises that he is in control. At all times, he is in control. John 16, verse 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Again, that guarantee that your life is not going to go smoothly. But take heart, I have overcome the world. God has conquered the world. Taylor, I need you to stand up for me, or sit up for me. God has conquered the world. The world is not in control. People in your life that treat you badly are not in control. Satan is not in control. A lot of people think that Satan is in control of things that are going on. Satan is not in control. God is the one who has overcome and conquered the world. He's the one that we can trust. We looked early last year. It was the first series we ever did, the first series I ever did when I was here, about something we called the bottom line, which is that God is in control, completely in control. He knows what's best for us. He knows everything about us, so he knows exactly what is best for us. And he loves us. And when you put those three things together, that is a God that we can trust. We can trust when things are not going well. We can trust when the worst possible thing you can imagine happens to you. Because the God who has overcome the world is also the God who knows everything about us. And is also the God who loves us with a love that we barely understand. It is so great, we can barely understand it. We can trust him. He's in control. The last thing is this, but God does promise that hard times will never be too much for us. He promises that he's in control. And he also promises that nothing that ever happens to us can separate us from him. Love this this passage. Romans 8. It's not up here, guys. You got to flip to it. I actually do want you guys all to flip to it and look at this. It's such a great path. 774. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. And honestly, if there's any place to bring someone to when they're feeling overwhelmed by something going on in their lives, when there's some sort of suffering that they're going through, this is a great place to take them to. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says this. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? All the stuff we're talking about, suffering. So can suffering do that? Can it take us away from God? From God's love for us? It says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Can't say better than that. Nothing can separate us from that. Let's pray, guys. God, you are so worthy to be praised because of who you are, that sometimes we think that we should be treated differently than how we're treated, that we should avoid some sort of suffering, that we should avoid pain in our lives. But God, it was never your plan for us. At no point was it. And sometimes we just have this false belief that somehow it was, that it is your plan. That we should avoid pain in some ways and avoid suffering in some ways. And as we'll see in the next few weeks, you have very specific plans for suffering in our lives. thank you for those plans. But God, I just thank you for your promises to us. You didn't promise any of those things, but you definitely promised that that you would always save us from being crushed by life and by suffering. That you'll save us from that. And God, it's just so great to know that we can face any situation and know that it's not going to consume us, that it's not going to take us down. And God, it's just really nice to know that we always have a way out in temptation, that we're so so consumed by temptation all the time because the devil just wants us to fall. And God, it is so great to know that you are holding him back from temptation that we wouldn't be able to handle. But we are only tempted in ways that we can turn to you and trust you with that temptation. It's so great to know, God. Also, it's just so great to know that you are in control, because our life seems so out of control sometimes. And some of us honestly have been shielded from great amount of pain in our lives, from a great amount of suffering. Some of us have suffered a lot. Even some of these guys, being as young as they are, have suffered a lot in their lives. But God, suffering is going to come. Suffering is going to come probably next week, and greater suffering will come next year. And we just know that we expect that those things will happen. But thank you for being a God that we can trust, because you've got the whole world in your hands, that you are controlling all of what goes on with us, and that nothing is outside of your hand. Thank you for being that kind of God. And especially thank you for being a God who loves us with such great love that no matter what happens in our lives, even if the most unimaginable thing happens to us, it will never separate us from you. Great truth that is. God, I pray as we get ready to go to our So What groups, that we'd be able to make this practical for us, that we would be able to plant it deep in our hearts so that we can share it with others when they need to hear it, and that we can remember it when we need to hear it. I pray this on your name. Amen. Don't go anywhere, guys. I want you guys to answer those last questions down there at the bottom. Just going to go through them. It says, which one of these truths is easy to forget for you? Which one of these truths is easy for you to forget? How do you need to apply these truths to your life? And who is someone you know that is going through a tough time and might need to hear these truths? I'm sure most of you guys know someone who's going through a tough time right now. And just want you to think through that. And then we're going to keep going with this thing where you fill out down at the bottom. I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes to fill out what are three things that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight based on what we looked at. So go ahead and fill that out.